title it, I Believe, I Receive. I shared with you as I started last week, sometimes, you know, we're believing, but we don't know how to receive. And I think we need to be really aggressive at receiving. Sometimes I think we're too passive. You know, Kenneth Hagin used to say about Mark 11:24, it says, wherefore what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. And sometimes I think the desire is not big enough. Not enough to make you press in to receive what God has promised. And I spent time last week, Joshua chapter 1, talking about the truths that God spoke to Joshua as he's getting ready to lead the nation of Israel. And he told him, number one, you're the one. Number two, you're going to lead these people into the land. Number three, you're going to defeat all your enemies. And number four, you will divide the land. That means they were going to succeed. And I shared with you that in those scriptures, what the Lord did was he gave him, in essence, a mural, but it's like a vision board. He showed him what he was going to do, how it was going to happen, and what the end result was going to be. So as he pursued what God had told him to do, he could always look back to what God said and say, God said, so I know it's going to happen, whatever you face. You see, we want to receive what we're trusting the Father for. Amen? Well, this week I thought we would go to Psalm 107, and the more I looked at this psalm, the bigger it got. I was just going to pull a couple scriptures out of there, but we're just going to start Psalm 107, verse 1, and we're not going to catch every verse, but a good many of them. The more I looked at this psalm, the more convinced I am that it's multiple layered, this particular psalm. It's a marvelous, marvelous psalm that God is ministering to us, as well as whoever else wants to read it. But it brings hope, it brings encouragement, because we find in here God's grace and God's mercy abounding in Psalm 107. He also tells us, we start out here, about what we, the redeemed, should begin to do. Okay? And we're talking about receiving. One of the things we really have to kick into gear is our capacity to speak. Hello? We really need to put it to work for a good many reasons. But here in Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, when I'm thinking about receiving what I believe the Lord has either instructed me to do or what his promise me in the Word, one of the things I have to continually go back to is, God is good. There's a time in my life when I wasn't so sure that things were going to work out. And one day I went to church. I was visiting a church, and I made the decision. I said, you know, I know, Father, that you are good, and I'm going to believe that you love me enough to do what you said. I believe every one of us has to come to that moment in our lives when we get down on our knees and we say, God, I just telling you, I give up. I believe that you love me enough to do what you said. So when the psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, there again, we're looking at what God has placed before us. If you're going to succeed in what God has for you, you got to get that driven down on the inside of you to the extent that the devil can't get it out of there. Not circumstances, not your failures, not what someone else says, not your sins. God is good, and he's on your side. For God so loved you before you came to him, he sent Jesus to die for you. How much more now that you're saved will he freely give you all things with Christ? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. So we're talking about I believe, I receive. One of the things we really need to begin to kind of make it a part of our lives is we become thankful. Butch has been doing something that it's just really profound. We get together on Saturdays sometimes and meet at a restaurant, and recently he held up a glass of water You know how he does things like this and pointed out me, and he says, I'm thankful for clean water. How many of us are joy and our happiness and our peace get stolen because we forget to be thankful? I believe, can you help him out there, Sean? Thank you for the commentary. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. If you and I are going to be successful at receiving, we're going to be thankful in every situation. Not for what is happening, but for who it is that is for us and what he has done for us. Amen? Okay? I'm not thankful I stubbed my toe on a bed frame. I mean, I'm not thankful for that. But I'm thankful I've got a bed to sleep in. Thankful I've got carpet to walk on. I'm thankful that toe's going to heal. I'm thankful I've got friends and family. I'm thankful that I have all of you. You know, there's not thousands here tonight, but I'm thankful for each one of you. I believe I receive. The number one place I believe we need to start, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. I was visiting with a young lady the other day that doesn't go to church here. She called me up and had some things she wanted to talk to me about. And I asked her, I said, what have you got to be thankful for? And she listed some things. I said, sometimes we mess our lives up because we are so centered up on what we don't have, we're not thankful for what we do have. In other words, we're always looking backwards and we're not looking forward. Come on now. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. Now, we're never going to get through this psalm if you don't listen a little quicker. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. If you have no reason to give thanks except for that one, that's a place to start. Thank you that you are always good. Then no matter what you encounter, it's like that vision board. You can look up at it and say, God is good. This is not nice, but God is good. Amen? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. For his what? His mercy endures until you screw up. What does it say? His mercy endures. His mercy continues. His mercy moves on. His mercy, wherever you are, he's already there. His mercy. His willingness to move in your behalf because he loves you. He wants you to have not what you deserve, but what he wants for you. His willingness to give you what he wants and not what you deserve. How about that? People call it undeserved favor. It's a good definition, but to me it doesn't tell me anything. His mercy is his willingness to move in your behalf, giving you what he wants you to have and not what you deserve. Isn't it interesting that Psalm 107, he starts out with, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Period. Don, that means he's not adding to that statement. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is. I don't need another reason. For his mercy, his willingness to move in your behalf, even though you don't deserve it, is forever. That has a ton to do with this psalm. Because in this psalm, he lists a number of people that got themselves in trouble. They cried out to him and he delivered them. Okay? Because I'm talking about, I believe I receive. What is it in your life right now that's hindering you from trusting that he'll do exactly what he said? This psalm will remove it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is. For his mercy endures. Does that mean today, Linda? How about tomorrow? How about tomorrow after Don does something in the morning that really upsets you? Is it still then? I would think at Don's age that that would never happen again, but... Aren't we something? I'm telling you, you know, amazing. Let's go clear down to verse 2. Are you ready? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That word redeemed there refers to the kinsman redeemer. In the old covenant, God provided for a kinsman redeemer, which of course was a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Yes? What the kinsman redeemer was, if Tim got himself in a position where he couldn't pay his debts and he sold himself in as a bond servant, if I was his closest relative, I could come and buy his freedom. Or if he had to sell his property, I could come and buy that property and put it back in his name. Or if something would happen to a relative's husband, I would care for them. Kinsman redeemer. Let the redeemed, let those get, oh my gosh, this is so good. Do you have a kinsman that ever stepped in and helped you out? His name is Jesus, if you haven't figured this out. Hallelujah. Let those whom Jesus has stepped into their lives and bought them out of slavery to sin, death, and the grave, say so. Let the redeemed who've been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ from sickness and disease, say so. Let those whom the Lord Jesus has purchased from poverty, say so. Let those whom the Lord Jesus has purchased from addictions, say so. Remember, I'm talking about I believe, I receive. Let the redeemed. How many of you in here are the redeemed of the Lord? Did you know, Emma, that it says that what you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it to you? Did you know it says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of law, being made a curse for us? Get this, Don, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Ufta. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Do you have any idea why I'm stressing that? Why would I try to get you to say it? It does. The word teaches us, doesn't it, that it's by the fruit of our lips that we're satisfied. It's our belly is filled with the increase of our lips. Yes? And, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I've taught you all that stuff. But let the redeemed of the... Now, if I believe I receive, then I need to make this transition. I believe it. Now I'm going to say it. Now we need to say it aggressively. Well, Pastor, I said it once. Well, praise God. How long ago was it? Well, it was 15 years ago, Pastor. Let the redeemed, those who have been bought back by the price of his blood, back from what sin sold us into, let them say so. So he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so. My Bible says that all things are possible to those who believe. In Hebrews it says that faith is the substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of those things not yet seen. And faith is boldly believing and boldly speaking. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. if I remember right, that means narrow, tight, constricted place. You know what that means? When we were sold into sin, our lives were narrowed down. We had very few options. The only option was you could die and spend eternity apart from the Father. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord Jesus has delivered them out of the power, the influence of the enemy. Now, somebody give me, other than the devil, I know the devil, but what would be some of the enemies you're facing? Sickness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord Jesus himself has bought you back and delivered you from the power of sickness. Give me another one. Depression. Wow, that's, you know what Kathy was telling me? She was reading an article how that has become almost a plague amongst the millennials.
You know, I'll tell you a story about that. When I worked,
you can't do that. Give me a microphone. I want to hear this.
It was sad.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I worked in pharmacy, in the row that I sat in, there were 3 pharmacists and 5 technicians in that particular role. All 5 of those young technicians, male and female, were on an antidepressant, and they would just get panicky if they'd spent too much money on maybe something they hadn't and couldn't refill their prescription. And the whole place was like that with all the young people, wasn't it?
Amazing. Isn't that something? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord Jesus has purchased them back from the power, the influence, the bondage of the enemy. Give me another one. Depression, you said. Addiction. That's a powerful one, isn't it? There's multitudes of people that are facing that, and it isn't something that many times you can just walk away from. You need help. Sometimes they cannot walk away. They've got to have help. But we can help ourselves with what I'm saying. Even if you're in the midst of some of these things, what you need to do, number one, start thanking God for everything you can think about that he's done for you or what you have. Thank God I've got a chair to sit in tonight. Thank God we've got lights in here. Thank God we've got an air conditioner tonight. Thank God I have shoes on my feet. Thank God I've got glasses to wear. I can see you fine, but I couldn't read if I didn't have them on. Thank God I've got a tongue that speaks. Thank God I've got ears that hear. Thank God I've got fingers that move and arms that lift. I can walk. I've got a heart that's still pumping blood. I've got lungs that breathe air. I've got a liver that, whatever it does. Yes.
Material.
Now, you see what I'm helping you to do? Get your eyes off of what you don't have. Give thanks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What am I saying? Jesus himself has set me free from addiction. From what kind of addiction, Rachel? Okay. Thank God, while someone is having to take that stuff, they can say, Father, I'm thanking you that you have set me free from all the hand, all the power, all the influence of methamphetamine and heroin. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that right now, I'm lighting up that cigarette, that you have set me free from nicotine addiction. Thank you, Father. That's what I'm talking about. I believe. Now, I want us to receive. I believe I received it. Well, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good and his mercy endures forever. And then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. While you're living a life of thanksgiving, begin to say what he's redeemed you from. From all the hand of the enemy shot. Excuse me. y'all making me talk too loud. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 3. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. You know, I don't have any trouble believing that he's talking about the nation of Israel here. But didn't we all come from everywhere? And didn't he bring us into the family? And doesn't it say in Galatians chapter 3, very last verse, that they that are in Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? He brought us from everywhere. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what? Have you thought about thanking God that he brought you into the family? Thank you that's written my name in the Lamb's book of life. Thank you for that you've adopted me. Thank you for that you've raised me up and seated me at your right hand. Thank you. You can start there. Or like Butch says, thank God I've got clean water to drink. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. I've decided I'm going to keep you now. I got to keep him on his toes, you know. I have to put him on probation about every week or so, just keep him going. For those of you listening on digital by message, on message by digital, that's my granddaughter married this young man, and I'm keeping him in suspense. Yeah, I don't know what people would think if I was normal. Let's go to Psalm 107, verse 6. Well, actually, go to verse 4 there, Brent. I know she put it on there. I'm just going to read down to you there. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Go to verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Now, for just a moment, let's talk about people that don't have direction in their life. They're looking for something. They don't know what they're looking for, and they can't find it because they don't know what they're looking for. Listen to this. Verse 6. Then they, who's the they is talking about? Those who wandered in the wilderness. Those who don't know where they are. Those who can't find their way. Those who can't find a habitation. Those who cannot find that place where they belong. I'll bet that's lonely. I'll bet that's discouraging. You know, there's a lot of people that feel like they're not loved. There's a lot of people feel like they don't have friends or family. A lot of people feel like they're isolated. And you know what it says here? They cried unto the who? Now let's go back to the beginning of this psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. And then it says in verse 6, talking about those who are wandering through the wilderness, can't find a way, looking for a city, can't find it, a dwelling place, a habitation. It says, they cried unto the Lord. Have you ever had to cry unto the Lord when things weren't working? Well, what he's trying to tell you here is that he hears you. So wherever you are tonight, he's hearing you. He's listening. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That word cried out means to cry out to someone. It refers to shouting, complaining loudly, to pleading for relief or justice, calling for help. You said, God! They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Ah, what you do? They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. That word means to deliver. It's deliverance often indicated by the power of one entity overcoming the power of another. Can we relate to that in our relationship with the Lord Jesus? All right, now listen to me. When you cry out to the Lord, he hears you. And it says here that they cried out to him, he delivered them. It's referring to the one that you cried out to has greater power than the one that's trying to keep you in bondage. That word deliverance is referring to being delivered by one who has greater power than one is holding you. Well, that would be the Lord, wouldn't it? They cried out unto the Lord, and he delivered them in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. That word distresses means it identifies a state of despair, hopelessness, and anxiety. You don't need all that stuff that Linda was talking about to keep you calm. Just spend some time with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, giving thanks unto Him, and saying so. When you cry out to the Lord, what does He do? He delivers you from all of your trouble and all of your distresses. Now, I want you to notice verse 7. Now, remember, they were wandering through the wilderness. They couldn't find a city. They couldn't find a dwelling place. They cried out to the Lord. He delivered them from all their distresses. And it says, then He did something. You know, when you're reading and you're thinking about scriptures, you need to be in context. If you find a scripture you really like, you need to read before it and after it and think about it. What's it saying? After they cried out to the Lord. Remember, they were the ones that were wandering around, not God. Hello? They were the ones that were lost, not God. All right? They were the ones that couldn't find a city, not God. But when they cried out to Him, He delivered them from their troubles and their distresses. And then He did something. What did He do? He led. Now, think about that. They were looking for a dwelling place. They cried out to God, and His answer is, yes, but He did something. I'm going to lead you somewhere. He didn't bring the city to them. He didn't bring the dwelling place to them. He led them. When you cry out to the Father, we're talking about, I believe, I receive. You've got to be willing to do what He asks you to do. You've got to be willing to do what He tells you to do. Father, I need X number of dollars. Bible says, what have you asked? He'll give it to you. You're a tither. You're a giver. You're in line for that. But think about this. He might have something that He wants you to do. He wants to lead you in the way that He would have you to go. I believe, I receive. I need to listen. What would you have me to do, Father? I know you heard me. I know that when I cried out to you, you said yes. What would you have me to do? He led them forth. He led them by the right way. That's a straight and just right. That they might go to a city for a dwelling place. That He might take them to a habitation. They're not living alone. They're not isolated. They're not without help. They're not without comfort. Verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks. Oh, would give what? Oh, that men would give. How many of you? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'm just asking you a question. You answer it without raising your hand. How many of you have forgotten to give thanks today? If you're feeling grumpy, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling left out, if you're feeling hopeless, probably you've forgotten to say thank you. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His what? Oh, praise the Lord, for the Lord is, and His mercy endures forever. Oh, listen to this. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Brothers and sisters, you're sitting there. This is Wednesday night. I know you've been working hard, but I'm teaching you how to receive. Every one of you in here has something that you desperately need to receive for. They prayed. He said yes. He began to lead them. He said, oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord for the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Go, verse 9, this is what I want to get to. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. That word longing means to thirst or to long for. He says He satisfies. He fills you with what you're longing for. Now, what did, I got to get it here. Verse 7 says, He led them. There's got to be a connection, brothers and sisters, in His leading and you getting filled up. Yes. Yes. God, I'm asking you to do something for me. It's in your word. I see it. I believe I receive it because you said if I'd ask in Jesus' name, you'd give it to you. Okay. What's the answer? If you'd prayed according to His word, it's a yes, isn't it? Then He's going to lead us, right? He's going to show something to us. And He's going to do something while He's leading. He's going to satisfy our longing. And he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, you say, what does that have to do with receiving? If you'll read that and pay attention to it, it'll give you all kinds of confidence and courage right where you are, that no matter what you're looking at, God is satisfying the longing of your heart, and he's filling you with God's goodness. God is good. He's always good, says that. And it says he always does good. How about that? Wow. Okay, you want another one? But go to verse 10, Brent, and I'll just read down through. Those who sat in darkness, this is starting a new group of people. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. That almost sounds like people who are in addictions and bondage and stuff, okay? Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. I've shared with you before, I want you to think about this. When we read the Old Covenant, a lot of times we think, well, God is out hammering people. You know, you got off the right path. I'm going to knock you into next week. No, listen to me. When you get on the wrong path, it leads you to the wrong place. And they got to this place not because of God was getting after them, because they got on the wrong road. Can you see that? Yes? Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Oh my gosh. They found him in a place where there was no hope. They couldn't see any way out. It finally got to that point, Jim, where they said, well, I guess we're going to have to pray. Huh? Has it come to that? It's come to that point where I've got nothing to trust in except my Father. We're in a bad way. I know I'm terrible. So verse 13 says, when they got to that point, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. That word cried out there, it means the primary activity implied is that of crying out in pain or by reason of affliction. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. That word means to help, to deliver, to defend. The underlying idea of this verb is bringing to a place of safety or broad pasture, as opposed to a narrow strait symbolic of distress or danger. He brings you into a wide place, an abundant place. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. That's indicating narrowness, tightness, distress, application, misery. Verse 14, when they cried out to them, he did something. He brought them out of what? Tell me about darkness. What? No light? No life, you said? No light. So there's no light. What does that mean? Truth? Which means understanding, insight, wisdom. I liked what, when he said light, I thought he said life. You know, you take a plant and take it out of the light, what does it do? We've got to have the light to live, don't we? He brought them out of darkness. They were deceived. What they were looking at, they thought was truth. They thought they understood. They thought they were walking a path that would bring them happiness or joy, but it wasn't working. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen people who live in a certain way and it's not working and they think they just need to do it more? You ever seen them? Yeah. Well, when they finally wake up enough, say, you know what, this is not working. They cried out to the Lord and he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Literally, that means close to death. These people were very close to dying. They cried out to the Lord, and he brought them out of darkness and shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. That word broke means to break away, to pull away. Chains is of political and military oppression and control. That word is used concerning military oppression, political and military oppression and control. people putting you under their thumb. Now they cried out to them, and he brought them out. Go to verse 16. Verse 16, Brent. For he has, say he has. For he has. That sounds a lot like New Covenant, doesn't it? For he has. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord for his good and his mercy endures forever. For he has broken the gates of bronze. Now, he was talking about those who were in darkness, shadow of death. He broke their chains, and it says here, not only did he break their chains, he broke down the gates. In other words, you can come out. Now, remember last week I was talking to you about that vision board? You know, if there's something, you know, that you need to come out from, I'd say, get yourself a little board. Put up there and say, he broke my chains. He brought me out of darkness, and he burst asunder the gates of bronze. Because your addictions, your chains will try to convince you you cannot get free. They tell you, you've tried before. It didn't work. It's not going to happen. You just stay right there. Just put up with it. Just go ahead and just stay right there. Don't try. Don't be disappointed. Just stay there. And it says that word broken. Wait to hear this. The word broken is most often used to express bursting or breaking. In other words, he blew the gates off the hinges. They're busted. They can't be shut. It's like when Jesus came to set the captives free. He opened the prison doors. Now he's got to convince you to come out. You're not being held captive. You can come out. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. And that's literally what it means, to cut them in two, to break them for you. Let's go to verse 19. Better go to verse 18, Brent. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Verse 18. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Go to verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 20. He sent his what? What did he send? Now remember, in one it said he led them. The other says he broke down the gates. He broke the chains. In other words, I've set you free. I'm trying to lead you. You see, sometimes it's difficult for us when we're in a bad spot to ever see any light. And when the Lord tries to lead us, if we're not careful, say, what's the use? It's hopeless. And he's wanting to reach out and take us by the hand and say, hey, trust me. Take hold of my hand. And what did he send? Well, now, Dorothy, how's it going to help me to pick up that Bible and read it? What good is that going to do me? Well, true. It'll also give my feet direction, won't it? Yeah. It'll give my hands purpose. It'll give my tongue something to say and my mind something to think. But what did he send? What did he send? What did he send? What did he send? So if you're looking for deliverance, you're looking to be led, you're looking to see where those gates are that are burst, what are you looking to? And then what are you going to do with it? Follow what it says. Oh, that is so difficult. In the midst of a difficult moment, a difficult situation, say you've been at it for a while. You've been at it so long, you can't see any way out. It'll never change. And it's screaming at you. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You say, God, send me a deliverer. Well, he did. His name is Jesus. And he sent us his what? I can pick that up. I can read it. And it says, by Jesus' stripes you are healed. Oh, I'm not trying to get there. I am. It says he himself bore your sickness and carried your pain. He took it upon himself. It's not upon me. He took it. It says, whatever you ask in my name, I give it to you. It says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in other tongues. Yeah? As I sent somebody this week, I said, the person, there are no enemies to those who walk in love. There are no enemies that can withstand you when you walk in love. Doesn't mean there aren't there. They cannot keep you from achieving what God has given to you. Okay, am I getting you there? He sent his word and... So, Jesus came, he went to the cross, he paid the price, we've been forgiven, we've been redeemed, we've been reconciled, we've been lifted up, we've been exalted, seated at the right hand of the Father. He gave us a name, he adopted us, he gave us an inheritance, and he placed within our hands words. They're not just ink on paper. It's God's heart. It's his will. It's his purpose. The words that are in that book are alive, and if you will get them down on the inside of you, they'll produce what they're saying. So when you're looking for something that you, God, I need help. I need it now. What does he send you? And so often we're looking for something else. I need better finance. I need a new job. Well, okay, but what did he send? He sent the word. Now, it'll bring you the new job. It'll bring you the bigger finances. But what are we looking for that will give us confidence? What did he say? That's what I'm trying to tell you. What did he say? He said, I'll give you whatever you ask. Okay. He said it, didn't he? Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for everything. Be anxious for everything, right? Be fearful for everything. Worry about everything. Well, then how come you do it, Dorothy? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Be careful for... Nothing. Be worrisome about... Nothing. Be filled with fear about... Nothing. Instead of doing that... See, what did he say? Oh, he said pray. With thanksgiving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And it says... It says the peace of God, it does, which passes all understanding, which me you can understand how at this moment it can happen, but the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. Wow. It literally means mount guard and garrison your heart and your mind. That means he'll send a troop of army rangers to watch over you. Okay. He sent his word. I know I'm stressing this, brothers and sisters, but as a pastor, I wouldn't have enough years to list all the times that people forget this. What did he send? Because when you get in a tight spot, you're looking for something you can do or somebody else can do or something can happen. What does the word say? He's trying to lead you to that place with his word, okay? He sent his word, and what did he do? He healed. No, you've missed one. He healed them. It describes the process of healing, being restored to health, and made healthy, usable, or fertile, in case you're interested. He healed them. What did he send to heal you? So where is the seed of God's healing? When you sow the seed of God's healing into the soil of the kingdom, what are you going to get? A harvest of healing, right? Well, can somebody tell me what the soil of the kingdom is? It's your heart. The sower sows the word. The spirit man. Sow the seed of the kingdom into the soil of the kingdom, and you're going to get a kingdom harvest. So he sent his word and healed them, and okay, so he healed them, and what? And what? And what? And delivered them from their, that word destruction in Psalms. The noun is used to indicate the crisis from which Yahweh saves those who cry out to him in their troubles. Hallelujah. I mean, your fat's in the fire, Jim. It's licking up all around you. Your hair's curling up on your head because it's so hot. And you cry out to Jesus, and he does something. He sends you chapter and verse. Thank you, Jesus. I need a deliverer, and you sent me the word. Thank you. I think that really helped. Yeah, right. That's what he says. That's what he uses. He sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. Wow. What did he send? What are you going to look for? What is going to be your confidence? What is going to be your trust? What is it you're going to rely on? now you begin to understand why he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord," what did he send to heal you? What did he send to deliver you from your destructions? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are you saying? What the word says. I'm talking about, I believe, and I'm talking about receiving. So let's go verse 21, Brent, and then to verse 22. Yeah, he said it again. How many times has he said that so far? Isn't that that's the third time, I think, is two or three. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Go to verse 22. Uh-oh. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. What would it be a sacrifice to be thankful? When you don't feel it, when it doesn't look like it, when there's no evidence of it, you're going to give it up to him. That's what a sacrifice is. You give it up to the Father. Oh, that men would sacrifice, let them sacrifice the thanksgiving, or sacrifices of what? Thanks. Come on, thanksgiving. And then what? And what? And what? And what? Oh, God, it's so bad down here. I thought you heard me. I was sure you heard me when I prayed. I don't understand why my kids are acting like their mother. I don't get it. God, I didn't raise them that way. What happened? Oh, God, you know, I've been working so hard and everything I do just doesn't work. Every seed I plant dies, God. Oh, woe is me. God's saying, please stop. Oh, that men would praise the Lord and be thankful. Let them sacrifice with thanksgiving, sacrifice of thanksgiving, and declare what? Declare his what? Declare his what? What did he send to heal you and deliver you? Let us declare his works, what he has done. Did he not send Jesus to the cross? Did not Jesus say when he was on the cross, the work is finished? When he entered into the Holy of Holies, did he not sit down? He never came out. The way is still open. The work is finished. Let us declare the works, his works with what? Oh, no. I'll rejoice when I see it. Well, you're going to be waiting a long time. Let him declare his works with. Father, I'm thanking you that your word is absolutely true. And you said that you would meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I know that you're trying to lead me. Help me. Make it plain. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I know my Father's voice and hear his voice, and the voice of the stranger I will not follow. I know that I have it because you are good. Get this. You are good, and your mercy endures. You know what that does, Tim? That mercy endures forever. That trumps anything that would try to tell you it's not going to happen. Because he's going to give you what he wants you to have and not what you deserve. Oh, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving, declare his works with rejoicing. I'm going to have to quit with that for tonight. We'll pick up there next week.